Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
No evidence that Dana Smithers' disappearance is in any way tied to Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger. That is what was posted on Thursday when local police announced in an empathetic all caps tweet as everyone starts to try and connect Dana Smithers to the Brian Koberger case, and really for good reason. You can't blame anyone for going and saying, well, this is rather bizarre that you have parents of someone who's suspected and accused of murdering four Idaho college students now going into an investigative grand jury that's under the pretense of something to do with the Dana Smithers case. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of people go, huh? Now, does it mean he did anything with it? No. I mean, it could be them going in there to just completely exonerate him and say, yeah, they're doing their due diligence, which they are, and trying to see if there's any way to make sure that he's not connected. The speculation was set into motion by various media outlets that reported that Brian Koberger's parents, Michael and Marianne Koberger, had been summoned to provide testimony before a grand jury in Monroe County, the very same county where Dana Smithers lived, disappeared from, and was tragically found dead in April. Same place where Koberger's parents live and Koberger at that time. These stories were fueled by a lot of sources, including one who suggested that the Koberger's testimony was tied to the Smithers case. However, due to the confidential nature of the grand jury proceedings, there was no official statement either confirming or refuting those reports, and you really can't confirm or refute, and officials can't confirm or refute those reports. So once it gets out there, it's kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the various sources, an informant claimed that Brian Koberger, 28, had a solid alibi for a time period of Smithers' disappearance in May of 2022. This was months before he left Pennsylvania to pursue his PhD in criminal justice at Washington State University. Now, what is that alibi? That is a very good question. I was on News Nation just the other night with Ashley Banfield, and they were talking about this in the segment just before I went on. And what I heard, and again, I preface that as it is exactly what it sounds like. What I heard, it's not official, it's just this, it's just that, was that the alibi is for Koberger, the night of the murder, was that she saw him go to bed.
Well, but that doesn't mean he didn't climb out a window.
Exactly. So take it for what it's worth, for a grain of salt. It's what I heard. Not saying it's a fact, but it was a fairly decent source that brought that one in. News Nation then connected with a sister of the Smithers who shared some intriguing insights. According to her, an investigative grand jury had already been probing her sister's case before Koberger's arrest. In the aftermath of his arrest for the grisly Idaho murders, the grand jury did consider the possibility of any links between Smithers and Koberger. However, the evidence gathered led to the clear conclusion that Koberger was not connected to the Smithers case and was not even, in the vicinity at the time of her disappearance. That's up for debate. The Stroud Regional Police Department had a flurry of news articles drawing the connection to the Smithers case, and they've been using Facebook to issue not one, but now, as of our recording, two denials. More of the pot was stirred, claiming that Marianne Koberger had already provided her testimony before the grand jury and that Michael Koberger was slated to testify on last Thursday, which, from all intents and purposes, that we know they did. Additionally, it was reported that their attorney had made an unsuccessful attempt to quash the subpoena. Lots of speculation on the Finding Dana Facebook page. You know, if anything, this is going to put more attention back on the Dana case and maybe some more pressure to search harder and longer and find more possible connections to her murder, if in fact it's not Coburg. And just getting it back out of their spotlight, because so many of these cases go cold. The only way that they get revived is if there's new evidence or some sort of speculation like this goes on.
And I love how the public can get some of these investigations going. I mean, you take a look at the Menendez situation. Mm-hmm. That I think that's going to go to trial at some point again. They're going to get a new trial because the public is going to put the pressure on.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of these cases absolutely go cold because it's just easier. But if the public starts putting pressure on, they have to do something.
Yeah. Introduce podcasts into the world. And there's been a lot of cold cases that have now been solved or brought back into light, and ongoing investigations are now ongoing and not just sitting there anymore.
It's amazing
when you're able to focus on some of these things. And it comes down to resources. You know, they're police departments don't have that. Police departments should have a podcast division where it's solely people trying to investigate it, but it's podcasters doing it. And then it works hand in hand with the department. And then there's a little more resources there available for investigation. I don't know.
Just, I have no idea who could do such a thing.
It's a little idea. I don't want to work in public service in any way, shape, or form. But it would be an interesting thing to do. So that's that as of right now. The question is, why were they being subpoenaed? Is it, or not subpoenaed, but why were they being questioned by the grand jury? Does it have anything to do with the case? Maybe. But it may be to exonerate. I don't know. More than likely, however, here's what I think it may be. Grand juries can ask a lot of questions. A crime has to have been committed in the jurisdiction of the county there for a grand jury to be able to have witnesses come in to testify and to be questioned. And it's an investigative grand jury as well. I should say that. This is not an indicting grand jury. They can't indict anybody, but they can ask questions. So the pretext or pretense to get the parents in there may be, let's clear him of this other case so we don't waste our time on this, while at the same time being able to question the parents about, okay, he's not on this one, but what happened when he got home for the holidays? What did you notice? What was he doing? What about the gloves? What about cleaning the car? What about this? What about that? And getting testimony then from the parents on what they witnessed his actions being at home. And then that can be shared with the prosecutors in Idaho.
I have nothing. There's so many facets to this case.
Without a doubt. I mean, it just keeps going and going.
It's just like an octopus. It's just touching so many different things, so many different avenues. And, you know, I think University of Idaho students, they're graduating, you know, this week, this weekend, mm-hmm. last weekend. It's graduation time and they're four student. Well, I don't really know if were they graduating. I don't remember their ages.
There was they got them posthumous diplomas this year.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, there's just this shadow that's been cast over these poor students and just makes my mind reel.
Yeah, completely. We got some really interesting conversations this week here with defense attorney Bob Mata, which you'll hear on the feed. In fact, right after this episode, it'll be dropping. If you're listening to this, it'll be dropping earlier in the morning on the 30th here. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that. He goes into what he believes. It's a lot of what I just described, why they were there, what was going on, and where this all could lead. Very, very interesting conversations with him about this case. So you don't want to miss that. An interesting thing you found earlier, completely mm-hmm. unrelated to the actual murders or anything, but just kind of the bizarre, I don't know, irony of the situation, the mascot of the university.
Yeah, I was doing a little research on a positive spin on things, if there is such a thing, to do with the Coburger situation. But I did look into their mascot, mm-hmm. and I was a little surprised by it. The mascot is a vandal, And we're it not like someone's name like Vandal or anything. No, it's Vandal. And the reason is because student athletes nearly a century ago were playing basketball. Their team played defense with such intensity that a sports writer said they vandalized their opponents.
It's an interesting way of describing that.
Yeah, it is. It to me, it feels a little violent. It feels a little unnerving, but you know, mascots are something that they've gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of years, especially for maybe not being politically correct, that kind of thing. A vandal, you know, if somebody vandalizes something, to me, that's trespassing, that's defacing, demoralizing. So it's just a strange mascot, but I come from, I'm a Hamline University graduate from St. Paul, Minnesota, and our mascot is the Pied Piper. So I don't have a leg to stand on there.
I think sometimes mascots are decided without a whole lot of forethought. And it's like, that sounds great. This is going to be good. Pied Piper of Hamline. The Pied Piper does lure children away after ridding the town of a rat infestation. The story of the Pied Piper was not paid for his services as promised. And in an act of revenge, he used his magical flute to charm the children of the town, leading them away, and they were never seen again.
Yeah, isn't that just a great thing to be as your mascot?
And you know how I learned that? I learned that through watching Surviving R. Kelly, because R. Kelly in the 90s and in the early 2000s, when he was relevant in terms of being a musical artist, would always say he's the Pied Piper of R&B.
Oh, God.
And this was right out there. It was in like, it was like on the intro to so many songs. And they were like, they're playing like the intro up. And he's like, Pied Piper R&B. And, you know, and then he would go into, you know, the songs. You know, like, my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yeah. I'm the Pied Piper of R&B, bitch. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So...
Yeah.
Another thing, like right in front of us from that era. And it's like, oh, we're all surprised. No,
it's interesting. If you look up Hamline University, they really, really push hard about that the Piper is a folktale hero, led the way, helping to remove the rats from the city of Hamline. They're not focusing so much on the children. It's more about the rats.
Well, it's the Pied Piper. Yes, he's the story is he's hired to get rid of the rats with his music. Because I guess rats don't like his music. And I don't know what it is. Maybe he's, you know, playing a little bit too much, you know, Michael Bolton covers. I don't know. But the rats supposedly, he does his job. The rats go away and then they don't pay him. He's disappointed. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to steal all your kids. That's the like story of the Pied Piper.
Yeah, it's something else because I remember when I was on campus, they actually had a guy who dress up as a piper and he was wearing like a bodysuit and tights and you could see everything. And it was just really awkward. And then they changed the mascot a little bit. It's more of a costume-ish looking thing with a big head that gets put on him. Kind of like a Disney type mascot. So it's not so much a guy in tights. It's more of a cushioned type outfit. But yeah, it didn't instill a lot of Piper pride in me. It just
Piper
felt
pride. Icky. Oh God. Is the Pied Piper still the mascot to this day?
For Hamline? Absolutely. Damn straight, brother.
They still got the Pied. So do you still have your Piper pride? Do you get out the whatever the Pied Piper is playing,
your flute. Do I get out my flute?
Walk around like daycare center wall, gates.
I don't. I can honestly say I do not. I don't focus on the Piper aspect very much. I have my diploma or my degree, I guess, on the wall, and it doesn't mention anything about Pipers. Yeah. Thank God. It just says Hamline University. That's all it says. Great institution. They were just in the news. If you want to look them up, they kind of put their foot in their mouth a little bit about something. And so, you know, they are what they are. But I think I'm still paying off my debt to that institution.
You are still paying the Pied Piper.
I am.
Hey, if you want an ad-free experience of the show, you can get one through Apple Podcasts. Get actually access to all of our podcasts in their entirety. Sign up there, try it for 3 days free, and binge away with no commercials. Check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. For Stacey, I'm Tony. Stay with us.